Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Open your Bibles, if you would please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would please. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians. Hallelujah. Chapter 4. Mark it right there. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, as well as some other scriptures. Amen. You finding it okay? Amen. Timothy and Thessalonians and Titus, they're all right there together. You might just put a little something there in Titus, too, because we might have a look at that together, too. Amen? Titus is right there. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, and Titus, the pastoral epistles. Amen? Paul wrote them. Amen? Hallelujah. I'll speak up so you can hear me tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. The world, our country in particular, is going through great change and upheaval. Amen? Hallelujah. But we're not afraid. Amen? What have we been talking about on Wednesday nights around here?
Faith.
Hallelujah. Well, I was ready to come and give you part two of last week's message, but I got ready to do it. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me on Monday and told me to bump that up to next week, and that I was to speak to you about another subject tonight. Amen? He told me this on Monday. So I changed gears on Monday, and I got ready to share with those who are going to be here tonight to bring a word of hope and encouragement to you, an impartation of hope for you tonight. Let me read to you first out of Isaiah 40. I was standing up here earlier, and the Holy Spirit put this on my heart to just read this to you before we begin tonight. Amen? Let's not forget to whom we belong. Amen? Let's not forget to whom we belong. Amen? Yeah, Jesus is coming, you know. Jesus is a coming. Sooner rather than later. I don't know when he's coming, amen? But he's coming. Let me just read to you in Isaiah chapter 41, beginning in verse 10. I'm going to read to you through verse 13. You might want to put this in your notes, and you'll need these verses for future reference, because they're very enlightening, very encouraging. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." Some people woke up this morning and forgot God was with them. Amen? He said, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish." Now God's talking to Israel here, but he's talking to you too. Because the Bible says, if you be Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the same promise. Amen. "Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." Isn't that just good? Yeah. Oh, the Holy Spirit just put that on my heart standing up here. You read that to them. Amen? As I said, the world and our nation in particular is going through great change and great upheaval. Amen? And we need to not forget to whom we belong. And we need to not forget what we know. Amen? Jesus is coming. Amen. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is what the Lord put on my heart for Wednesday night. I had no idea why. On Monday, he told me to do this tonight. right here in 1 Thessalonians. We're going to look at a lot of scripture together here tonight, so you be ready to move through some scripture with me. Amen? The Holy Spirit has a word of encouragement for you tonight. Amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." You know, the same shout that He shouted at Lazarus when He said, "Lazarus, come forth," and he who was dead rose from the dead. He'll come with that same shout, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Remember, God used to blast the trump from Mount Zion and freak everybody in Israel out. They've asked Moses at times, "Tell them to stop." That same trump, Jesus will come within the sky. Amen. It'll be heard worldwide. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together." Oh, I skipped the trump of God. "And the dead in Christ shall rise first." Would you say that with me? "The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Do you see in the scripture right there? To meet the Lord in the air, so we shall ever be with Him. This is a reference to the rapture of the body of believers. This is not a reference to the second coming. This is the rapture, a reference to the rapture. A reference to the rapture. You call it a rapture. It's a rapture reference. Amen? It's going to rupture the devil. Amen? The rapture and the second coming, so many believers, they think it's the same thing. And it's not. The rapture occurs at the beginning of the 7-year tribulation period. And the second coming occurs at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. Here at the rapture, and the word rapture is not even used in Scripture. It actually means catching away. But everybody uses the word rapture, so we'll use the word rapture. It's okay. We know what we mean. God knows what we mean. Amen? Here, it says in the rapture, we'll be caught up in the clouds with Him. But in Zechariah chapter 14, it says at the second coming, He's going to come put His feet on the earth, on the Mount of Olives, and He's going to split it one side to the other. So in the rapture, we go up to be with Him. 7 years later, at the second coming, we come back with Him to fight on the earth in the battle of Armageddon and to reign and rule with Him through all of eternity right here on planet earth. This is where you're going to spend your eternity. Right here, you read that in Revelation 21 and 22. He's going to move the heavenly Jerusalem right here on earth, and He's going to rule right here from planet heaven. We're going to be part of the deal. Amen. Amen. So the rapture and the second coming are two different events. And a lot of people don't know that. Amen? But you'll find that in the book of Zechariah. The second coming, He puts His feet on the earth, on the Mount of Olives. But here at the rapture, He only comes to the clouds, and we go and we meet Him in the clouds. You encouraged by that? These are comforting words for those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It's part of our inheritance. Amen? The scripture's clear. There's coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ will appear in the clouds and call forth the gathering of saints, not just the gathering here at the Holiday Inn in Cape Cod, but He'll call forth the gathering of all saints that lived through every other period of human history. He'll call them forth, the dead first, followed by those who are alive, to come up into the clouds to be with Him forever. The Lord said to me this morning, "Don't forget what you know." He said, "Don't forget what you know." Let me tell you what else He said to me this morning as I stand in the front of the mirror. He said to me, "Most of your Congress is still pro-Israel." And I thought, whoo, what a relief. We'll have to check that out. I heard that in my spirit. The majority of your Congress is still pro-Israel, and I can work with that. What does that have to do with the rapture? I don't know, neither do you. So there, He told me, I'm telling you, to encourage you. Amen? Amen. We've just elected a president who's not pro-Israel. We've just elected a president who's not pro-morality. He's not pro-life. The bad boy's in trouble. But God said to me this morning, oh, I was so encouraged to hear that. Most or the majority of your Congress is still pro-Israel. I can work with that. Hallelujah. Thank you for the revelation, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, he's coming. Amen. And all believers, every saint from every century, living and dead, will go up to meet with him in the air to begin a new, eternal existence with him throughout all of eternity. That's a good report. That's a good report. Go to Titus, if you would, in your Bible. Amen. I want to show you a specific reference to this. This is what the Lord put on my heart on Monday, to come and talk to you about the rapture. Amen? Hallelujah. So we'll look at some scriptures together concerning the rapture, and the Holy Ghost will encourage us. Amen? As I told you, the Bible never even once uses the word rapture. The Bible refers to this supernatural event, this being caught away with Jesus, as the blessed hope. And it's right here in Titus 2. Are you there? Hallelujah. We'll give you a second to get there. Titus chapter 2. Hallelujah. Write it down, Dorothy. Everybody write it down. Amen. Look right here in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. You there now? Hallelujah. Where the Bible says that we are to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? This is the rapture. The Bible calls what we call the rapture the blessed hope. Amen? So that's what I'm going to refer to it through the evening tonight as we continue to look at some scriptures together concerning the rapture and the coming of the Lord. Amen? Now, Jesus promised his disciples in Luke's gospel that he would return. He promised. Why don't you go over there and look at it, as a matter of fact. Let's go to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. Write it in your notes. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. Amen. We don't hear it enough. Amen. I've been negligent and I'm repenting because I haven't been saying to you enough, Jesus is coming. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, we've been hearing that. People have been hearing that for centuries. Well, glory be to God. We're closer to it than any of them then. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming. He promised his disciples he'd return. Right here in Luke chapter 21. He said in verse 34. We're going to look at some words here too. Amen. I'm going to kind of move quickly. Take heed, verse 34, to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. That word means stressed. It's talking about your physical heart. Amen? Don't have a heart attack over world events, is what he's saying. Take heed, be watchful, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged or stressed or burdened with surfeiting and drunkenness in the cares of this life. Now, what does that word surfeiting mean? I'd like to tell you. It means to don't get so stressed out that you eat the whole box of Oreos. It's talking about eating out of control because you're so stressed out by the events in the world around you. Did you see that? Don't use eating as a relief valve for stress. Amen? Don't do that. You'll kill yourself. And don't use drinking as a relief valve for stress. Amen? Don't be burdened. Don't burden yourself with the events in the earth all around you, he said, to the point where you just eat yourself crazy and drink yourself crazy. Stay in control of yourself, for I am in control, says the Spirit of God. Amen? This is what Jesus told his disciples. I knew a guy who was so stressed out, He used to eat so bad and so much. He was so stressed by the circumstances of his life. He had to keep going in the hospital and having surgery to have a screen put in his belly where it kept bursting. Barbara and I both knew him. And the screen kept popping off. He was so stressed. He was so overeaten. He'd sit in a chair and sit a plate on his belly and it would stay there while he ate. He was stressed. Stressed by world events. Stressed by family events. Stressed by the cares of the world. He put a big old plate of food on his belly and just shovel it right into his mouth. And the net on his belly kept bursting. That's surfeiting. That's what the Bible's talking about. Jesus said, don't get caught up in that. Amen? I'm not saying don't eat cookies. Amen? I'm saying don't eat the... Don't run, you know. Some people, after what happened last night, electing the president that doesn't believe the way that we believe, ran right out to job lots this morning and got a big old tub of Oreos and pounded them all day. Slammed them. That's how some people handle stress. Other people do it with booze and tobacco and soda pop and whatever. Amen? Jesus said, just stay calm. Cast every care upon me, for I care for you. I'm still in control. God still providentially governs the nations. He's still in control of the world, the universe, the galaxies. He's in control. He knew all this was going to happen. Amen. And he's telling us, don't get stressed as you're waiting for me to come. Amen. For as a snare shall it come on. No, let me just go back here and do this again. Take heed, lest at any time your hearts be overburdened with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. Stay in tune. Stay in tune. Spiritually, read your Bible. Pray in other tongues. Relax. Jesus is coming. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. That's talking about the world, not his family. Going to come on them like a trap. It's not going to catch us by surprise. Amen. We're ready. We know he's coming. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Amen. Warning his disciples, don't get caught up in the cares of the world, the ways of the world, or that day could come upon you and you'll look up and realize it passed you by. Amen. Go to Mark chapter 13 if you would. Scripture, scripture, scripture. Amen. It's crucial that we live every hour of every day prepared for the rapture because we don't know when it's going to come. Amen. And it's valueless to set dates and times. Jesus forbade that. Amen. We don't know the hour of his coming. You know Jesus doesn't even know when he's going to come. Got dry mouth. Amen? Jesus doesn't know when he's coming. Look right here, Mark chapter 13. Answering the question his disciples asked him. Jesus said in Mark 13:32, are you there? Hallelujah. Say amen if you're there. I want you to see these with me. Amen? But of that day and that hour, talking about the rapture, knoweth no man. Is Jesus a man? He's a God-man, but he's a man. Amen? No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. These are Jesus' words. Amen? Would you like to know why I believe Jesus doesn't know when he's coming? I bet you would. Wouldn't you? Because I believe where Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that we have the mind of Christ. See, we have the mind of Christ. If he knew when he was coming, we could tap into his mind and we could either speed it up or slow it down. We'd get in the way. Amen? So it's kept from him to keep it from us so that we can't hinder it. You know, Jesus also said to his disciples in Acts chapter 1 and verse 7, if you want to put that in your notes, he said, it's only in the jurisdiction of the Father to know when I'm coming back. His disciples said, Jesus, is it at this time you'll come and set up your kingdom? He said, to know times and seasons is not in the jurisdiction of man, it's in the jurisdiction of the Father. Amen? Only the Father knows when Jesus is coming. But we know that He is coming. Amen? We can't know the times, but we can know the indicators. Amen? Last night was a good indication that Jesus is coming. Amen? Hallelujah. Say, I ain't scared. Hallelujah. I'm a believer. Amen? We're believers. That's what believers do. We believe God. We trust God. We love God. God loves us. Amen? He's not going to leave us holding the bag. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He's not going to leave us without help and leave us without hope. Amen? Hallelujah. We don't know when the rapture is going to occur. But it's going to occur. We need to live like it's going to occur at any moment. Amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We can't know the times, but we can know the signs. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you disappointed because you came to hear faith tonight and you're hearing the rapture? Amen? Hallelujah. God knew you wouldn't be when He moved on me on Monday. He said, you pull those scriptures out, you go over them with those people. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2. I'm just stirring up your pure memories by your pure minds by way of remembrance. Amen? Because the Lord said to me this morning, don't forget what you know. Don't forget what you know. Don't forget to whom you belong and don't forget what you know. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5, 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Anybody ever know a thief to call and say, get the jewels out, I'm coming by around 9:30? Huh? That's how Jesus is going to come. Unannounced is what he's talking about. Amen? For when they shall say, when the world begins to say, peace and safety, peace and safety, I'll bring the troops home and I'll end every war in the world. Amen. I'll redistribute the wealth and we can have abortions at will and we can have same-sex marriages and we'll all live together in a utopia. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you shall. But you shall in that hour, you shall escape the coming tribulation. Amen? So just chill, everybody. Because this ain't nothing like what the tribulation's going to be like, and we're not going to be here. Amen? We're going to be taken out of the earth at that time. We're still here right now because the Father has determined we can handle it. We can cut it. We can do this. We can believe our way through this. Amen? We can live with this president. Amen? Like the Lord said to me this morning, the majority of your Congress is still pro-Israel. I can work with that. Whew, thank you, Father. That I can work with that. You can work with that. Amen? God is with us. Amen? We can know the signs, but we can't know the times. Where shall I have you go right now? Go over to Matthew chapter 24, if you would. Hallelujah. Paul said one sign would be when all the world is saying peace, peace, peace. Amen? Then Jesus will come like a thief in the night. Hallelujah. You're going to Matthew 24? You know, that angel that appeared to Daniel in the book of Daniel, he spoke to Daniel about the rapture, and he said it would come during a time of unprecedented increase of knowledge. You just get over to Matthew 24 if you'll wait for me there. Amen? Daniel said the rapture of the church, the catching away of the saints, would happen in the earth. I believe it's in Daniel 12:4. He said it will happen during a period of unprecedented increase of knowledge in the earth. Let me read it to you. The angel said to Daniel, at the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased in the earth. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased in the earth. Well, we're seeing many people run to and fro. Just the airlines, the major airlines around the world, transport hundreds of millions of passengers annually. As expensive as things are lately. traveling by airplane is still affordable to practically anybody. Millions of people annually running to and fro in the earth, just like that angel told Daniel. Amen? But he also said, in knowledge would be increased in the earth. Listen, we're in a period of knowledge that is unprecedented in human history. Every detail of your life, in my life, in our lives, everything we've ever thought, said, or have done, everything we've ever desired to do can all be recorded on a silicon computer chip smaller than your little fingernail. That's knowledge. Amen? All that information compacted in one little silicon chip made out of sand. Is that why God said, Barbara said one time, is that why God said, my thoughts of you are as the sands of the sea? Because computer chips are made from the sands of the sea. They melt it down like glass and store information. It's unbelievable. Computer hard drives keep getting smaller but bigger. The capacity increases and the size decreases. And the memory to run them just continues to increase at a rapid rate. They say in the next 10 years, the average home computer will have a memory in a hard drive that is equal to 9 billion human brains. Woo! Did that go over your brain? In the next 10 years. I'm not talking industrial computers. I'm talking the laptop that you use in your home. In the next 10 years, the hard drive in the memory will be equal to 9 billion human brains. Now, you talk about knowledge increasing in the earth, right under your nose, and you don't even really realize it. Amen? Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's interesting. Knowledge, people running. You know, the Boeing Corporation right now is working on a prototype aircraft that can fly from New York to Tokyo in 45 minutes. It's a real bird. They're working on it. It flies up into the Earth's atmosphere, 64, 65 miles up, leaves the Earth's atmosphere, gets sucked into orbit halfway around the Earth at 17,500 miles an hour for about 20 minutes, and just as it's approaching Tokyo, it'll come back into the Earth's atmosphere and land like the space shuttle. New York to Tokyo, 45 minutes. They're working on building the prototype now. It could knock you out if you think about it. Hallelujah. Are you there in Matthew chapter 24? Hallelujah. Paul said we can't know the times. Jesus said we can't know the times. We can't know the signs. Amen? When his disciples asked him again to tell them what will be the signs of his coming right here in Matthew chapter 24. You getting anything out of this? Verse 5, you encouraged? Hallelujah. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Amen. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Amen. God's got all this under control. God knows what's going on. Amen. Look up here if you would. If you would, please. We'll read Matthew 24 in a minute. Maurice and I were talking earlier in the day today about this president. He's not a pro-Israel president. He's not a pro-Israel president. And Israel put out word to the United States months back and said, if Barack Obama is elected president of the United States, before he takes his oath, we're going in and we're going to blow up that Iranian nuclear power plant. So I woke up this morning and I said, hello, President Obama, goodbye, Iranian power plant. Amen? That's a good thing, because that thing needs to go. Because those people have threatened to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. They said, as soon as we have sufficient nuclear weapons, Israel is goodbye. Now, we didn't listen to Hitler, but we're listening to the other fool today, aren't we? Amen? That's a good thing. If we have to take on the burden of this man, Barack Obama, as our president for the next 4 years, just to get that power plant wiped out and to save Israel, bring him on! Amen. Hallelujah. Not to mention in 2 years we're going to get control of Congress back anyway. But if all that comes out of this man's presidency is Israel going in and wiping out their nuclear capability, it's worth it for us to live with this dude for 4 years. You love Israel? Say Israel.
Israel.
Be blessed. In Jesus' strong name. Don't doubt for a moment that God's not using your faith and our faith to allow that man to go into office to save Israel. It should be worth it. Hallelujah. Matthew 24. Hallelujah. Verse 5. For many shall come in my name. A lot of nuts out there saying that they're the only way to God. Come in my name saying, I am Christ. And shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you not be troubled. See? Don't get stressed out. Start overeating. Start over drinking. You know, and start doing crazy things. Stay calm. Stay cool. Cast the care of it upon the Lord. See that ye not be troubled. Make a point of it. Take some of it. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And this is the beginning, not the end of all sorrows. Amen. Do you realize, of course you know the world is presently at war with herself. Somewhere in the earth there's always a war or two going on. Amen. There's a couple you're aware of right now. Nations and kingdoms rising and falling. You know, I look around this room and I see the age of the average person in this room. And I realize that in your lifetime alone, do you realize that you actually witnessed the fall of the British Empire in your lifetime? Most of you people in this room. It happened, it began in 1948 when they could have helped Israel to take possession of Palestine. They refused to do it. And that's when everything caved in on Israel. And the final hole, on Great Britain, because they refused to help Israel in 1948. Amen. You know, every world power that has ever refused to help Israel has fallen. I can even put it this way. Every world empire that is no longer an empire is no longer an empire because at some point along the way they could have helped Israel and they didn't, or they attacked Israel. From the Babylonians to the Persians, the Egyptians, you name it. They're no longer a world power because they either could have helped Israel and didn't, or they attacked them outright. Israel is a golden bowl full of vipers. He who puts his hand in dies. Zechariah chapter 13, God said, you mess with Israel, I'll personally cut you into little pieces. It's not wise to mess with Israel. Amen? You have witnessed the fall of the British Empire in your lifetime. As a matter of fact, the last stronghold economically that they had was Hong Kong. And Maurice was there in what year? When they took the flag down and gave it back. 1989 approximately. Maurice was right there when they took the British flag down and gave it back to the Brits and put the... What did they put up? A Chinese flag? A Chinese flag. Amen? That's the fall of the British Empire in your life. You have witnessed the Berlin Wall come down in your life. You've witnessed the fall of communism in your life. As Jesus said, these things will happen. Amen? In your lifetime, Jesus said there'll be famines prior to the rapture. You have literally lived through, every person in this room, millions of people have died in your lifetime of starvation. Millions! Because they couldn't get enough food to eat. Jesus said that's what's going to happen before I come. But closer than you realize. Amen? Hallelujah. God's in control. God's in control. Amen? Hallelujah. He mentioned pestilence. How about the AIDS epidemic? It's pretty hush-hush and quieted down now. We've gotten used to living with it, but it's still there. It's still unresolved. It's still incurable. And there's going to be even more incurable these diseases come out before the rapture of the church. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to Luke chapter 21 real quick. I'm just looking at scriptures and I'm just commenting on them as the Holy Spirit leads me. Amen? Hallelujah. Haven't even mentioned the never-ending stream of religious nuts who are always claiming to be sent from God to save the world. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 We don't have time to mention religious nuts. You know they're out there. Let's look at something else Jesus said. about his coming in Luke chapter 21. Let me know if you're there. Getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. We're doing good with God. Amen? Here in Luke chapter 21, chapter 25. Luke 21, verse 25. Sorry. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. Say amen if you're there. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations. The whole world is in distress. Amen. With perplexity or anxiety. The world is stressed. The sea and the waves roaring. You know, tsunami style out there in the Pacific Rim. The tsunami we experienced in our lifetime. Amen. Hallelujah. How about Katrina in Wilma? And there's more coming. Men's hearts failing them for fear. It actually says people dropping dead for fear. You know, people in this country, in other nations of the world, they drop dead watching world news tonight. They get into such fear. They get so stressed out about it. They actually drop dead watching the news. You can't let things get to you like that. Amen. Men's hearts failing them. Their physical blood pumps stop in fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. We're right on track here, man. Amen. Right on course, just like Jesus said. There's nothing to worry about. He said it's going to happen. Lay off the Oreos and the booze. Just relax. Amen. He's in control. Hallelujah. He's our big brother. God's our Father. When these things begin to come to pass, look at this. He said, look up, not down. Don't be downcast and bummed out. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. It's almost time to go home, folks. We can do this. We can make it through this. Amen. We can do all things, Paul said, through Christ who strengthens us. Now, right here where Jesus said, when you see all this goofy stuff starting to happen in the earth, he said, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let me tell you, please, if I may, what it literally says in the Greek. It says, when you see these things occur, take the opposite position of the world. Take the opposite position of the world. Be elated and poise yourself, for your riddance, ransom, and deliverance is approaching. I'm going to read it again to you. He said, when you see these things occurring, take the opposite position of the world. I mean, don't have a heart attack over all this. Don't even get stressed. Just sit back and enjoy it. Because God still providentially governs the nations of this earth. God is in control. Even when it looks like he's not in control. And God always makes a way, even when there is no way. He'll make a way. Amen? Hallelujah. So take the opposite position of the world. They take the fear position, you take the faith position. We're believers, we believe. Be elated and poise yourself, for your riddance, ransom, and deliverance is approaching. Listen, this is the most stressful society ever. And if we're not careful, we'll get sucked right into it with them. Amen? We're supposed to be leading the way, not following the stressful, fearful ones. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. It's a wonderful, exciting time to be alive if you belong to Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 4, a couple more verses. Hallelujah. I've already preached myself happy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But I'm going to finish this one for you. Amen? Glory be to God. It's a wonderfully exciting time to be alive if you belong to Jesus. If you don't, you couldn't have picked a worse time to be born. You couldn't have picked a worse time. But if you belong to Jesus, this is wonderfully exciting. Amen? Come on now, we're God people. Amen? The creator of the universe, he's our Father. Say Abba!
Father!
Oh, we can call him Father. He corrected me one time. I was praying and kept saying, God this and God that. And God, and I heard a voice come up in my spirit say, call me Father. I repented. Father, forgive me. Amen? Call me Father, he said to me. He's our Father. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to see some other signs here given by the Apostle Paul real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Woo! This is good. Barbara and I are having a blast up here. How about you guys? Hallelujah. Verse 1. Say amen if you're there in 1 Timothy 4. Verse 1. Now the Spirit, that be the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times, if you've been with us on Sundays, you know we're in the latter times. Some shall depart from the faith. Listen, you can't depart from the faith unless you've first been in the faith, baby. Amen? Some faithful ones will depart from the faith. We're seeing that. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Just look around. People everywhere who grew up in Christian homes are departing from the faith of their parents to go into New Age deception and witchcraft. You know what a big one is that a lot of believers are getting sucked into today? Universalism. Nobody's going to hell. Everybody's going to heaven. Jesus came and spoke to me, told me personally. Doesn't matter what the word says, that hell hath enlarged herself to receive you. Nobody's going. That's what universalists teach. Jesus, they say, we do believe in Jesus. He did die on the cross. His blood was shed. You know, Carlton Pearson just lost a church of 7,000 people in Tulsa, Oklahoma. A word of faith teacher. A wonderfully anointed man of God just gave up 7,000 people to go with the universalist lie. Everybody fled when he started teaching. Nobody's going to hell. Everybody's going to heaven. This is what universalists believe. Yes, Jesus died on the cross. We believe Jesus is the only way to God. Yes, we do. But we believe that you don't even have to accept him. You don't have to be born again. You don't have to call on his name. His work at Calvary was sufficient for all because of what he did at Calvary. Everybody's going to heaven whether they accept it or not. That's the devil. Anybody comes, Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, 5 and 6, he said, if anyone comes to you preaching any other revelation, even if an angel comes, or even Jesus comes, and preaches to you any other doctrine other than what I've taught you here in the book, let him be accursed. God doesn't speak against his word. I know you know that. Amen? Amen? Universalism is a lie. A whole lot of faith people are going with the lie of universalism. Believe in the lie. God's too loving. God's too good to let anybody go to hell. He's too just. Yeah, he's just. That's right. That's exactly right. Those of us who live for him and those who don't, he's not going to separate them. He's going to call us all the same. Then what's the sense in obeying? Where's the reward for those of us who obey if everybody's going to heaven anyway? Amen? Let's just eat those Oreos and drink that Jack Daniels. That's ridiculous. The lie of universalism. Paul said in the last days it's going to happen. It's happening right here on the Cape. And probably everybody in this room knows somebody who's believing that lie or something damn close to it. Some damnable lie close to it. They're on their way off into universalism. The glory of God on Cape Cod movement are universalists. Almost every time, I've gotten more trouble here the past year saying that from people. I'm going to keep on saying it. My job, Ephesians 5:11 says, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. The glory of Cape Cod is cloaking themselves in the lie of universalism. They want you to think that they're Christians just like you. But they're not. They don't believe in hell. And they don't believe that only those who accept Christ, that only the born again, can go to heaven. I'll say it as long as I'm here. And every time the Holy Ghost moves on me. That's my job as a pastor. Amen? I have had more people gripe me out for saying that. Gripe me out for doing my job. And you know what I tell them? That's why I'm the pastor and you're not. Hallelujah. Because I'm obeying the word, you're afraid to. You don't trust God. Not you folks. The people who call, you know, the gripers. You know the gripers? The gripers who get the vipers? The gripers get the vipers, amen? Hallelujah. Where are we? Paul said the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seduce. This is just a sign of Jesus coming. Sign that the rapture is just about at hand. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, real quick. Couple more scriptures and I'm going to dismiss you. Amen. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. The Lord said to me this morning, don't forget to whom you belong, and don't forget what you know. Don't forget to whom you belong. You belong to the Creator of the universe. Amen. He is in control. Don't forget what you know. And Jesus is coming. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just going through verses with you as the Holy Spirit leads me. The purpose of the rapture. What is the purpose of the rapture? Real quick. Can't go through everything. You'll recall a couple of months back before we started the faith series on Wednesday night, I gave you 10 reasons for the rapture. We can't go through all of those tonight. We also did it as a television program, and we have it on CD. We can't go through all that tonight, but I'm going to give you just two primary purposes for the rapture right here. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go with verse 52. 1 Corinthians 15:52. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say amen if you're there. This is firing me up, you know. I'm going to wait for you to get there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said in the last days, people are going to give heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of demons. It's happening all around you. When was the last time you went through the spiritual book section at Barnes & Noble? You know, there's more witchcraft. There's more witchcraft in America than there is in any heathen nation of the world. There's more witchcraft in America. There's more sorcery and seducing spirits and doctrines of demons in America than in any undeveloped nation of the world. I don't know if you've been in Barnes & Noble lately, but I noticed over the past couple of years, they used to have a huge Christian section because it was profitable. And they just keep narrowing it down, narrowing it down, narrowing it down, and putting occult books in that place. They've got a huge occult section in Barnes & Noble's now, in a little tiny Christian section. You know what the word occult means, by the way? It means to cover over. The occult covers over the truth. You know, when the moon passes by the sun, it's called an occult or an occultism because the moon's covering the sun. It's covering over the sun. That's what occult means. Amen? There is more false doctrine, more deception, and more witchcraft in America than any jungle village in Africa. Hallelujah. I get quiet so you can think on these things. Amen? The bookstores of America are bulging with seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, and Christians are gobbling it up like fools. Amen? Hallelujah. Where did I ask you to go? Oh, all these signs. 1 Corinthians 15. Hallelujah. All these signs are given to warn mankind of the rapture of true believers. That it's coming. Amen? Here, right here. Why? What's the purpose of the rapture? Well, number one, Jesus is coming to resurrect the righteous dead, as we said right here in 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. We read that in 1 Thessalonians 4, opening this session. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. What does it mean we'll be changed? It means the dead are going to get a perfect body. The righteous dead are going to be raised from the grave, and they're going to get a perfect body just like Jesus. No longer subject to corruption, sickness, disease, sin, or death. Brand new perfected body. Amen. For this corruptible, verse 53, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible body must be changed into an incorruptible body. This mortal body must become an immortal body. Paul said it's going to happen. Let me tell you what the literal says. It says this perishable must put on unending existence. Listen to that. This perishable body must put on unending existence. And this liable to die must put on deathlessness. This which is liable to die must put on deathlessness. That's a good report. You're getting that old bag of bones is going to be transformed into something as perfect as Jesus' body. It'll never get sick again. It'll never wrinkle again. It'll never die again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's the purpose of the rapture. Number one, to raise the dead in Christ. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll close with this verse of Scripture. The second purpose for the rapture. First purpose is to raise the dead in Christ and to give them a brand new body. Amen? Believers who died and were... It doesn't matter how you died. It doesn't matter where you died or how you were buried. Do you realize, believers, how many millions of people have been buried at sea and swallowed up by millions of fishes that swam off in millions of different directions, and God knows where your DNA is and He's going to raise it. Go figure. It says that this corrupt body must put on incorruption. It doesn't matter. If you shouldn't cremate. You should bury. Nobody in the Bible cremated. The only people in the Bible who were cremated at death are people who were under a curse. The patriarchs always buried. The New Testament always buries their dead. Amen? But even if you made the mistake, you didn't know you shouldn't cremate. Even if your loved ones have all been cremated, God knows where all that DNA is. He'll forgive you for doing that to them, and He'll raise them up anyway if they belong to Jesus. I'd rather talk about that than Barack Obama. I'd rather meditate on that than a socialist president. Amen? God will sort all that out. I'm going to pray for him. He's my president now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't care if I don't like him. He's mine. Amen? And we're going to pray for him. And we're going to bless him. And we're going to believe that he really gets saved and stops believing that doctrine of demons that he taught on national television when he said, Jesus is the only way for me, Barack Obama said. Jesus is the only way for me, but not for everybody else. We're believing God to straighten that out in his thinking, amen? What in the world? His brain's the same size as mine. How come it don't work as good? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen? One final point I'm going to make here. The second reason for the rapture. Second purpose of the rapture is to take away all the living believers. Hopefully that'll be us. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. See, the dead in Christ go first. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 15. And look at 1 Thessalonians 4, 17. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them. Who's them? The dead in Christ, who just came forth alive. Got a brand new body. Amen? To meet together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. We started out reading this. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. These are some of the most comforting words in all the Scripture. Amen? I like that. I like that this liable to die must put on deathlessness. I can't wait to strap on deathlessness. Amen? Go and live with Jesus. No more sickness, no more disease, no more crying, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more cancer, no more separation, no more bondage, no more addiction, no more fear. Amen? Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. But you know, Romans 14, 16 says we're supposed to be experiencing that in part right now. Paul told the Romans in Romans 14, 26, for the kingdom of joy, the kingdom of God, you call it the kingdom of joy, that'll work too. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Don't lose your peace just because we got slapped with a president who doesn't believe the way that we believe. Amen? God's in control. This somehow is going to work for Israel's benefit. This is going to work to their great advantage. Somehow, as only God can do. He'll make it work. Amen? And I commend those of you who went out and voted pro-life. pro-morality, pro-Israel, God will personally reward you for that, for doing that. No act of obedience ever goes unrewarded by the Almighty. And if you voted for Barack Obama, well, praise the Lord. It's not the unforgivable sin. Amen? But you shouldn't have. Maybe you didn't know how to vote. God's priorities. Maybe you didn't know what the Bible says. But if you've been around here for more than a month, you should know. The Bible says to vote pro-Israel, pro-morality, pro-life, and pro-capital punishment. Amen? So, hallelujah. First, the dead believers, if you'd like to stand up, please. I don't mean dead believers stand up. I mean, it was two statements in one. Would the living dead please arise? First, the dead believers. Then the living believers will go. Amen? You know, we actually get to watch the graves open. Amen? As soon as, if you're driving by a cemetery and you see dirt flying and people coming out of them graves, pull it over and park it, because you're going in about 2 minutes. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. We're going to get to see it. Amen? As the bodies of the righteous dead are supernaturally carried up into the clouds. Amen? And before you can even say, I knew it was true, you'll be going too. Amen? Hallelujah. I just believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you're going to be looking down, rejoicing, and not looking up, bumming? Hallelujah. Say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Say, I will not fear.
I will not fear.
Hallelujah. Let me read this to you. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. What's he like? He's in a perfect body. Amen? He's not stretched. He's not going to have Oreo crumbs all over the front of his robe. Or Fig Newtons, or whatever you've been pigging out on. Amen? I'm not saying don't eat cookies. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm saying cast every care upon him. For he, that's a command of Scripture. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast every care upon him because he cares for you. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will capture your mind and hold you steady every time. Amen? So I will not fear. Oh, glory be to God. When he comes, you're going to get a perfected body. On your way up, your body's going to be supernaturally changed from a bag of corruption to an immortal masterpiece. On the way up, and the dead in Christ, they'll go first. They'll get their perfected bodies. As he is, so we will be. Physically. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. I'm looking forward to it. Amen? Let's lift our hands and worship God. Amen? Lift your hands, worship God, because he's coming to receive the saints. He's coming to resurrect the dead. He's coming to take us to heaven. He's coming to change our bodies. He's coming to present us to God. He's coming to make us whole, spirit, soul, and body. Oh, but before he comes, we're going to receive the early and the latter rain. Before this happens, James 5:7 says there's going to be tremendous revival in this earth. You know, we're being set up for revival. What happened in this nation last night? It's a setup. It's a setup. It's a setup of God. Amen. It's going to drive more people to their knees. And that's what we need, people to get on their knees and cry out for God's mercy and cry out for his. This is a setup.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You need to go out of here seeing it that way tonight. Amen. Don't be discouraged because it didn't go the way you thought it should go. Amen? God knows what he's doing. Amen? Say it with me before we close. Say, my Father providentially governs the nations of this earth. And I believe it.
And I believe it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.